ॐ
श्री
अचिन्त्यमव्यक्तमनन्तरूपम्
शिवं प्रशान्तमृतं ब्रह्मयोनिम्
शिवं प्रशान्तम् अमृतं ब्रह्मयोनिम्
तथाधिमध्यान्तविहीनमेकम् विभुं चिदानन्दमरूपमद्भुतम् उमासहायं परमेश्वरं प्रभुम् त्रिलोचनं नीलकंठं प्रशांतं ध्यात्वा मुनिर्गच्छति भूतयोनिं समस्तसाक्षिं तमसःपरस्तात्
सब्रह्मा सशिवसेन्द्रः सोऽक्षरः परमस्वरात्
सैव विष्णुः सप्राणः
सकालोऽग्निश्चन्द्रमाः
सैव सर्वं यद्भूतम् यच्च भव्यं सनातनम्
ज्ञात्वा तं मृत्युमत्येति
नान्यपन्था विमुक्तये
सर्वभूतस्थमात्मानम्
सर्वभूतानि चात्मनि सम्पश्यन् ब्रह्म परमम्
यातिनान्येन हेतुना
आत्मानमरणिं कृत्वा
प्रणवं चोत्तरारणिम्
ज्ञाननिर्मथनाभ्यासात्
पाशं दहति पण्डितः
सैव माया परिमोहितात्मा
शरीरमास्थाय करोति सर्वम्
स्त्रियन्नपानादिविचित्रभोगैः सैव जाग्रत्परितृप्तिमेति
स्वप्ने च जीवसुखदुःखभोक्ता
स्वमायया कल्पितजीवलोके सुषुप्तिकाले सकले विलीने
तमो विभूत सुखरूपमेति
पुनश्च जन्मान्तरकर्मयोगात्
सैव जीवस्वपितिः प्रबुद्धः
पुरत्रये क्रीडति यश्च जीवः ततस्तु जातं सकलं विचित्रम्
आधारमानन्दमखण्डबोधम्
यस्मिन् लयं याति पुरत्रयं च स्वप्ने च जीवसुखदुःखभोक्ता स्वमायया द जीव गोस् टु स्लीप एंड थ्रू हिज ओन लिटिल बिट ऑफ माया बिकॉज वी एंडोर लिटिल बिट ऑफ एवरीथिंग दैट द रियलिटी पोसेसेस वी आर नॉट लैकिंग इन एनीथिंग Little drop of water is not lacking in anything from the ocean. Same ocean is a little salty, Ocean is H2O, he is H2O. Like that. So, he goes to sleep, and in that deep sleep there is a very nice reply to the question, because people ask, I'm sleeping deeply, I'm gone to the state of pure ignorance, I know nothing. What causes me to come out? That is given in this. Punascha janmantra karma yoga, because of all the karmas of previous birth and all, he comes back to the waking state, sajiva svapiti prabuddha, either to a waking state or to a dream state, either one, he comes back out. Puratraya kridati yascha jivaha tatastu jatam sakalam vichitram. And like this jiva, who is nothing but what? Same reality. The jiva comes out and plays in the puratraya. Puratraya means the three states here. Waking, dream and deep sleep. He keeps going from one to the other. Sometimes very quickly also. And sometimes you don't know which state he is in. No, he himself doesn't know. Because here, a very simple thing. If I'm sitting here and my mind is somewhere else, that is called daydreaming, right? Mm-hmm. So it's some sort of dream only. So you don't know if to call it wake or dream. Because his eyes are open. But you don't know if he's sleeping or dreaming or waking or what. In fact, if you really give thought to that, you'll see, as long as we are not aware of what is in front of us, means my mind has gone somewhere else, I'm either sleeping or dreaming. I must sleep to what is right in front of me. So the definition of the states and all is not so absolutely clear. Generally speaking, we have some definition of these three states. But if you really see what makes that state, what makes waking? Waking is made by the fact that I am aware of what is. I am awake to what is in front of me. My senses are in direct contact with what is in front of me. My ears are listening to what is going on here. My eyes are seeing what is here. But if my mind, which is right behind those ears and eyes, if my mind is gone somewhere else, the ears cease to hear what is going on here. The eyes cease to see what is going on here. They're gone somewhere else. So I am asleep to what is happening here. And I am awake to something else, somewhere else. See. So I'm sleeping and dreaming. I'm asleep to this and dreaming about something there. Because my senses are not in contact with that thing. Just dream and sleep and all, they're gone all the time. We think only when we go to bed we sleep. But you see, whole day we are sleeping only. Especially when some class is going on. Because that time the mind says, oh, this boring thing again. And it goes away somewhere. But anyway, this jiva, who is nothing but that same reality, conditioned by avidya, is going to this puratraya, kriyati. Yaha cha jiva. And the jiva goes from state to state. From that reality, tatastu jatam sakalam vichitram. From that reality, this jiva is born. And sakalam vichitram. All wonderful things, amazing things in this world. This world will never cease to amaze you, isn't it? And every day, when you think that you have been amazed, then you realize that there are still so many amazing things. And some new things will come out to amaze. Vichitra, this jagat. And please understand also, the jagat in which we are living is just one finite little jagat, which doesn't even fit yet in an infinite Lord. If the Lord is infinite and everything which we see in front of us is finite, and inside that Lord there are infinite Brahmanda, it means infinite number of universes and dimensions and whatever science, whatever you want to call it. So where does our world fit in that? Doesn't even fit here really. So now think about the meaning of Vichitra. There's no end. Don't ever think. You know, it's the most wonderful thing. I found it. When I was leaving to go to India, we are born in the West, we don't know anything about India, so you just go happy-go-lucky, you know what happened. I went to the consulate in Toronto to ask for a visa to go to India to study. And that they give a 1 year visa, and then when you go there, you renew every year and that kind of thing for students. That High Commissioner was posted there, consulate or whoever, consul. He was so amazed at this person born in the West, he's going to India to study. He gave me 5 year visa in one stretch. Anyway, he spoke with me for quite a little while because he was very amazed by this thing. So he told me one thing. He said, in India, people don't study philosophy, they live philosophy. So I was looking forward to seeing that, you know, which he's absolutely true also. I tell you, you could never surprise an Indian. If you tell him some probe has just landed on a comet, he says, okay. It is nothing. You know, we have gone to Mars. Nothing. This civilization is as though they have really seen everything and done everything. And in other words, down somewhere deep down in the fabric of a society, the vichitra nature of Bhagwan, means the so amazing nature of Bhagwan, nothing is impossible. So if you tell him anything amazing, yes. It is part of Bhagwan, it is possible, it is what? It is nothing. The Bhagwan is vichitra, means it is just supremely amazing. And so no matter what wonderful thing I used to tell my Indian friends, yeah, take care. Amazing. So the amazing nature of Bhagwan is beyond our mind also. Adharamananda khandabhutam is the support of this whole universe. And I told you the meaning of that word also. Adharam. Adhar means not so. You see, this, some pillar supports the building. So the pillar is below and the building is on the top. Not that type of adhar, support. Supports the thing by being the thing. Like the H2O supports the ice sculpture, I was telling. That kind of adhar. Adharam, anandam, akhandabodham. And the nature of ananda, akhandabodham is pure consciousness, awareness. Pure awareness. Yasmillayam yati puratrayavcha. And it is the support for the three states as well as the one who is experiencing the three states. All of them dissolve in that reality. The reality is being spoken about. The reality is being glorified. So everything springs from that reality. So we should not just think that, you know, the reality is there, but there's world also. That world has also sprung from that reality. And in that world, there's one who is experiencing the world, the jiva. He's also sprung from that reality. All things have emerged from that reality. And so all things are made up of that reality. They're not different from it. Because there's no second thing. All things will be made up from what? There's no second thing, you see? All things are made up of the same reality. Okay. This is the idea continued in a few verses, and then he makes one more verse, and then he makes a very, very wonderful equation in number 16. But in number 15, same idea of all things being born from reality. It is like some few years ago there was a commercial on the television. You know how the soft drink companies, how they battle with each other on TV, right? Really, they battle with each other in our mind. Because our mind is seeing the TV. So the battle is really going on inside our head. So the RC Cola, they tried to make a comeback. And a wonderful commercial came out. The RC bottle comes out on the screen. And all the cola comes out from the bottle. And pops out from the bottle like this. And the cola forms itself into a man and woman, and they start dancing. So the cola itself takes the form, like that. So actually, it is the same existence, which is the reality of the nature of existence. It is the same existence which takes all the names and forms and shapes. And existence has such a great capability It can take any name, any form, visible, invisible, subtle, gross, anything. This is its capacity, I was telling. So that idea is continuing in these verses. So it has taken the form of the Aadhar, the thing which it supports, and it has taken the form of the thing which is supported also. Not just one. Etasmat jayate pranaha.
Etasmat jayate pranaha.
Manasarv. See, that has to be joined up. That sandhi is not correct. Manasarvendriyani cha.
Manasarvendriyani cha.
Khamvayur jyotirapaha.
Khamvayur jyotirapaha.
Prithvi vishvasya dharini.
Prithvi vishvasya dharini.
They call it chanda bhanga. Chanda Bhangam, you see, each pada is about to have 8 syllables. So in the second one, the one pada has 7 and the other one has 9. It is just one syllable has gone to the other pada like that. Okay. So anyway, it doesn't change any meaning. It just changes the chanting, gets a little, what happened there, like that. So, etasmat jayate. Pranaha. From that is born prana. Mana sarva indriyani cha. The mind and all indriyas are born from that. Kam vayu jyoti rapaha prithivi. Space, air, fire, water, earth. All of vishvasya dharini. This earth which holds up the whole world. Which holds up all things in the world. I mean, we are all on the earth only, isn't it? The oceans and these trees and the mountains and all are on the, they are all on the earth. So, all these emerge from that reality. This is the drift of the verse. So, prana. Prana in several meanings. Prana meaning what is? Life. The expression of life. In fact, the expression of life is really the... See. Just the mind. See the space in front of, right? A safe. Right where all my hand is moving. In this space. And if you look, there is nothing. It's pure empty. It looks like totally empty, isn't it? So the reality is like that also. But what appears to be empty, don't think that it is empty. From that seemingly empty reality, or from this seemingly empty, now science can also tell you, from this seemingly empty space here, so many things can be brought out. So in the same way, from a seemingly empty reality, which is made up of pure existence, consciousness, anything can come out. And please believe that also, anything can come out. Because from an infinite thing, any possible thing is possible, isn't it? There is nothing which is lacking in an infinite thing. Infinite thing will possess anything and everything. So from that, prana has come out. Prana means the first manifestation of energy or movement in the form of life from that reality. Prana sometimes means energy, sometimes means life. But both are one and same really. So something which seems to have no energy, then vibration starts. Which then which there is no vibration, then the vibration of life starts. From that. And when and how it starts? Well, we use these terms, we somehow give some beginning point for life and all that. Don't take the terms literally. Eh? We mean in this infinite reality, which is of the nature of existence, there is life pulsating eternally in this infinite reality. It means it is manifesting and demanifesting eternally. Manifesting as life, and eh? If you want to make the term demanifesting, I don't know if there's such an English term, but manifesting and demanifesting eternally. That is the way it goes. Like the pistons in an engine. Up, down, like that. So while something demanifests here, something else manifests there. So that is called prana. It manifests as movement, vibration, life, and then demanifests. Prana. Sarva indriyani cha, mana sarva indriyani cha means it manifests as minds, senses, and then demanifest again, and then manifest again everywhere. It's an eternal process. And it has to be eternal, because the reality is eternal. So the reality doesn't get tired. It is inexhaustible. The reality cannot say, I'm so tired. I've manifested so many times. I'm really fed up with this. It's a boring thing. Never says any such thing. It's nature, it's like that. The ocean never gets bored of being wet. Because it's nature, it's like that. It will be bored of being wet. I'm fed up of being wet. From now I'll be dry. Something cannot get fed up of its nature. Nature is that, huh? To manifest and demanifest. Kam vayu jyotirapaha prithivi vishvasya tharini. It manifests as space, air, fire, water, earth. I told you that in the past also. In a series of manifestation like that. Then, a very important thing is told in the next verse now.
Yat param brahma sarvatma
vishvasyayatanam mahat
sukshmat sukshmataram nityam
tatvameva tvameva tat
yat
param brahma sarvatma. That supreme Brahma, Vishvasyayatam Mahat, which is great support and abode of the universe. If a wave forms in the ocean, what is the abode of that wave? Ocean only, where you'll go. You can't take the wave and bring him home. He's formed in the ocean and he dwells in the ocean and he dissipates in the ocean only. That is his abode. That is Ayatanam. The Ayatanam of this universe then is Brahman. The Ayatana, abode of the universe, is that same Sat, existence. From existence everything is born. Just like from the ocean the wave is born. From existence, all manifested things which we see before our eyes, they are all born. They stay for some time and they manifest. And again, manifest. So it keeps on going. So the same wave is born in the ocean, dissolves in the ocean, and again, born. So that ocean becomes the ayatana, the abode, the home, the resting place, the house. He's born in that house, lives in that house, dies in that house. That is ayatana. So this reality, mahat vishvasya ayatana. This reality is the great ayatana of the whole Vishwa. Vishwa means the whole universe. And what we see, see in the sky if you look, how many suns we see. Well, our sun and every star is a sun. And you know, there are some countries when you go, some places, in the night time when you look in the sky, you see stars in billions, I tell you. There is no end. Somewhere I had gone in the southern hemisphere, past the equator on the other side, and looked up in the sky in the night time. It was so numerous. You felt that there is no more space in the sky for stars. So many I have never seen. No more space, there is no more space to put anymore. And each one of those is like our sun. Some of them much bigger than our sun. And if our sun has these 9 planets going around, think about them. And see the magnitude and limitlessness of this universe. And this is what our eyes can see. And if we to go to the furthest one and we look out further than that, then we'll see the same number. The amazing thing. So, this Vishwa, this is what we call the Vishwa, the whole universe like this. It has one ayatana only, one resting place, this infinite reality from which it has manifested. The Param Brahma it is called, Sarvatma, the self of all things. Because all things have emerged from that. And so all things are made up of that. Like the wave has emerged from the ocean. And the wave is made up of the same H2O as the ocean. So all whole universe has emerged from this Sat. So the whole universe is nothing but Sat. Like that. And it is Sukshma Sukshmataram Nityam. That Brahman is being described as the subtle subtlest of the subtle. No matter how subtle you go, this Brahman will be subtler than that. Wherever your mind can take you, subtle thing. The meaning of subtle is depending on how many of the senses can perceive that thing. So you see, this thing, our five senses can perceive it. See, some sound is there also. The ears also knows that. Sound, taste, touch, smell, sight, all of them can perceive. You can taste it if you like. So all five senses. But now see the air in this room. Only five senses cannot perceive the air, isn't it? The air in the room, only a touch can perceive. Or maybe sound of it if the air swishes by, the wind. So maybe few senses only. So the air is more subtle. So you take five senses and you take the objects of the world and you see how many of those five senses can perceive that thing. If the five senses can perceive that thing, it's called gross. If only four senses can perceive that thing, it is called less gross or more subtle. And then they go down, down, down in space. Only one sense organ can perceive space, actually, the hearing. We hear the silence of space. And then subtler than space also is this Brahman. No sense organs can perceive. Now see our thought. One thought is there in the mind. No sense organ can perceive that, isn't it? Only the mind can perceive the thought. So that thought is more subtle. And emotion. Only you know your emotion. Nobody can, good thing nobody can see. No emotion only. So like that, emotions, thoughts, you know, what about vasanas? Even I don't know my vasana. That is so subtle. That vasana is known only when it is expressed through some thought or action. Then I infer that I have this vasana. So vasana also is not known, not perceived. Very subtle. Now beyond the vasana also, if Gurudev's BMI chart, Om is there. That Om is this. This is a sukshma, sukshmataram, which is given here. Subtlest of the subtle, nityam, eternal. You know, even science tells that you cannot destroy matter and energy. What you will do with it? I tell you, if you take a piece of this book and you burn it, you made ashes. Right? You take the ashes and you throw it and it is dust. Right? You throw the dust. The dust will still be there. No matter what you do with this book, you really cannot destroy it. Dust will. What you will do with dust? Throw it in space, but it will still be there. The space dust. You really cannot get rid of matter or energy. So that's called a nityam. This reality is nitya, no matter what you do with it. So it's very easy then. Reality will be there smiling. Can't do anything to it. And the last pada is the most important pada. See, so far, the Upanishad has been describing the reality objectively. That reality which is Satchitananda, that reality which is the source, the Adhar, the Ayatana, that reality from which all things have come. That reality. But see, this last pada says, Tat, Tvam Eva Tat. Yeah? That thou art that. This is reverse the statement. You are that, it is telling. So there's an equation between the same reality which was being described objectively just now and the one who is describing it or the one who is studying it. There's an equation, and this is the most important equation in Vedanta. If this is not made, that studying that reality objectively, that is called academia. Means I'm just studying that, I can write also PhD on that. I study it objectively. But this equation is the most, this is Mahavakya actually. Tattvamasi Mahavakya, Aham Brahmasmi Mahavakya, both of them are there because this is reversed. Tattvam eva tvameva tat, that reality. This is where I really have to sit down and internalize this knowledge. Not just I study. No, studying is good also. If we don't study well, when we sit down to internalize, there will be nothing to internalize. I have to really study it well. That is also true. That's why we have Vedanta course. You study it well. That's why we have classes like this. So study this reality well, think about all the concepts, and go on marveling at the greatness and grandeur of this reality, how it can manifest as anything. And next moment, demanifest. And again manifest. And limitlessly, like that, it goes on. So marveling like that, but marveling is one thing, at the reality, to realize that I am that reality, that is the most important thing. And that is the theme which is there in the following verses also, you'll see. Jagrat swapna sushuptyadi.
Jagrat swapna sushuptyadi.
Prapancham yaprakashate.
Prapancham yaprakashate.
Tad brahmahamiti jnatva.
Tad brahmahamiti jnatva.
Sarvabandhe pramuchyate.
Sarvabandhe pramuchyate.
Now, in the Jagrat state, waking state, swapna, dream, sushupti, deep sleep state, ityadi, it means in all state. Why ityadi? We only three states we know. Jagrat, swapna, sushuptyadi, etc. That shows that we say, you know, there are three states, but I was just telling you that they're in between states, isn't it? Then that you really cannot characterize as either one of them. You are here, but your mind is there. But you're faintly aware of what is going on. Ityadi, etc. Jagrat, swapna, sushuptyadi. See? Yeah, I'll tell you one more thing about this. Maybe you have experienced it already. There is a state right between dream and sleep also. Awake also. Between dream and wake. That you are there on your bed, you are seeing something, or you are knowing something, and you want to move, but you cannot move. You want to do something. You feel that you are awake, and you want to do something, but you cannot move. That is a state right between waking and dream. There is still some more states in between there. Like that. It means only certain parts of the mind have become asleep, and some certain parts are still awake, but the certain parts which are asleep are the motor parts of the mind, and so the motor parts are asleep, and so we can't move the body. And then people interpret this to, I saw an apparition, you know, there's a ghost in the room, or there's this or there's that. He doesn't know that just one state that he is in between there, and he wants to get up and do something, and I wanted to get up and run, but I could not. So there are all of these sub-states in between. But the main states will be a good thing also if you go straight from wake to dream and dream to deep sleep. And we don't get a dangle in any of these other states. No. But please don't think that these are just the only states that are there. There are other states as well. So, Jagrat, anyway, that is the point here. Jagrat, Swapna, Sushuptyadi, Prapancha, Yat, Prakashate. Whatever Prapancha, manifested world that we experience in each of these states. Whatever manifested world we see, all of them have come from that reality. All that manifested world has come from that reality. Which reality? That reality, tat brahma ahamiti. That reality which I myself am. See, so again the equation is being made. It will be made in all of the verses going there now. That reality, I, tad brahma aham iti. Then nyatva sarva bandhe pramuchyate. Having known that, I become free from all bondage. I have to know that I am the Brahman I've been talking about all the time. I am the Brahman I've been studying all the time. I am the Brahman which all the shastras speak about. In other words, this knowledge has to be personalized, not just an objectified knowledge. Please pay attention, in the whole Upanishad, in all the tradition, this is the most important point. There is no more important point. If Bhagavan Vashakar writes in Vivek Churamani, that if I have studied all the Shastras and this is not realized, all Shastras become futile. All Shastras become useless. If this point is not realized, I am that Brahman. We just don't say, yes, that Brahman is absolutely fine, he's good. Let him be. Let him be. There. That is not it. So only when I realize that I am that Brahman, then all bondage will go. In fact, if I don't realize that that Brahman is me, that knowledge of that Brahman which I am talking about objectively, that itself is one more bondage. Because I will convince myself, I know it well, you know. I have studied this thing 20 times. Nobody has studied it more than me. I know it well. And if anybody asks me any question, I can answer also. So that serves to boost his ego somehow also. And the whole point is, it becomes pointless. It's a broken pencil. Again, same idea now, see? Trishu dhamsu yat bhogyam.
Trishu dhamsu yat bhogyam.
Bhokta bhogascha yat bhavet.
Bhokta bhogascha yat bhavet.
Tebhyo vilakshana sakshi.
Tebhyo vilakshana sakshi.
Chinmatro ham sadashivaha.
Chinmatro ham sadashivaha.
Trishudamsu, in the three worlds, in three realms, Trishudamsu, yat bhogyam, yat bhokta, yat bhogaha, yat bhavet. It means in the three realms, means deep sleep, dream and waking. Whichever bhokta is there, whichever bhogyam is there, whichever bhoga is there, means what? Whichever experiencer is there, whichever thing which is experienced, and whichever experiencing is there in all the three states. Tebhyaha vilakshana sakshi. From them, this sakshi, witness of all of them, is different. The sakshi is apart from all of them. Chinmatraha aham sadashivaha. That sakshi is I. But remember, when we say vilakshana, I want you to pay attention to this. Sometimes it appears as contradictory. In the beginning, I started by saying, the thing which is manifested. So there, what is manifested? An experiencer, experienced, and experiencing. These are all manifested things, right? They have also manifested from this reality. Now, this is what we say, this reality is sakshi, and that vilakshana is different from them. Just now you said they only manifested from this reality. No, you're saying they're different. So what is the meaning here? And this is a very, very important thing, otherwise confusion comes. When we say all the manifested world is different from that sakshi, different from that reality, we mean to say that they are different not in substance, in form. Because the reality in its true nature is formless. But it is appearing to have form. So it is different, not in substance, different only in form. Like for example, the experiencer, experienced, and the experiencing, they will all be finite. Now the sakshi or the reality is not finite. The sakshi or reality is infinite. So that same sakshi or reality has now appeared as a finite experiencer, jiva, limited being. It's appeared as a limited being. So what we have to do, look beyond the limitation and see that that jiva is made up of satchit anand. So from that point of view, they are one and same. So when verses come like this, you see, just now only you said that that only is manifested from this and now it's saying that they're different. their different form. This is a finite form. Reality has an infinite form. But substance, this is also made up of Satchitananda. Sakshi is also made up of Satchitananda. It means everything in front of us, the whole universe, they look like finite things. But every finite thing is made up of Satchitananda. And then you know, this thing, let us say, made up of Satchitananda. Now, right here it ends, on this two sides. This is the end. It starts here and ends here. Now, where it starts or ends, right outside that, space starts. So, the space also is Satchitananda. So, this is Satchitananda. Where it ends, the space starts. That also is Satchitananda. So, now, where is the end of Satchitananda? No end. All of it goes on endlessly. You see? So like that, when I look at this, I see it seems to be a finite form. But only in form it is different from this Sakshi. Not in reality. That's why we say forms are not real. Forms are really not real. Forms are the most elusive things in the universe. But that is amazing. This is a lie. The light which goes from the projector onto the screen. So the same light takes the form on the screen. That light comes out on the screen there and takes the form of Amitabh Bachchan. He's a hero. And the same light takes the form of Gabbar Singh. Just the villain. So Amitabh Bachchan, Gabbar Singh, both have been formed from the same light. Now, in that light, is there any Amitabh Bachchan or Gabbar Singh? But a terrible villain comes out on the screen and all. And haven't taken form from the same light. But really, in this reality, there are no forms really. Just like in that light, there is no Amitabh Bachchan or Gabbar Singh or nothing. It's just white light. But it has a very great capability of taking that form, isn't it? So also Satchitananda. See, capability is the most wonderful thing. It comes out and takes all of these countless forms, but it has not changed even a small wee bit. I'll show you how forms really have no reality. See, this is form. They say this form is, you call it long. Black, long form. Right? Let us just give it some name now. Now, really, this thing is made up of a lot of atoms. So if we start taking out one atom and we put it here, one by one, and we put it over there, I'm not removing blackness or length or nothing. I'm removing atoms. And I put it there. I go and put it. After I remove all the atoms, the length, because I did not remove length and color. After I remove all the atoms, the form should have stayed there. But I realized that after removing all the atoms and putting it aside, there is nothing that remains. I have a clump of clay and I make a pot. So that is form. Now it has gotten form. Before it was just a clump. Now it has form of pot. So I then remove one molecule of clay and put it aside from that pot. Pot shape should have remained there. Because I did not remove shape, I just removed my clay. I want to retrieve my clay which I used for that pot. That shape doesn't remain. That shape is form. Form actually has no independent reality. Form is a feature of the absolute reality. All forms in the universe. It's a feature of the absolute reality. It's an amazing feature. It has a vichitra. An amazing feature of that reality to take that form. And then when you really search for the form, it is not there. So, in all the world, the forms which have taken place, they are really not there. They are appearances. They are appearances only. And from that point of view, the Sakshi or the reality is Vilakshana. Different. Different only in form, not in substance. And again the equation is made, what? Chinmatroham Sadashivaha. I am the pure consciousness, the eternal Shiva. I am eternally auspicious. I am that Sakshi. I am that Chit. I am that consciousness. Sakshi, Chit, consciousness, all of them are same. And the most famous verse in this Upanishad. Maye vasakalam jatam.
Maye vasakalam jatam.
Mai sarvam pratishthitam.
Mai sarvam pratishthitam.
Mai sarvam layam yati.
Mai sarvam layam yati.
Tat brahmadvayam asmyaham.
Tat brahmadvayam asmyaham.
Mai. This is the ultimate equation. Now it is not saying, oh, from this Brahman has sprung this world, from this reality has sprung universes, in this reality the world is supported, in nothing all. Now it comes directly home. Mai eva sakalam jatam. In me alone all things rise. So it's taking the equation to its ultimate end. In me alone all things rise. Means all universes. That is amazing. All of you are in me. And you can say the same about me also. You can just say, oh Swamiji, you are in me. In me all things rise. Mai eva sakalam jatam. Mai sarvam pratishtitam. In me alone all things rest. Mai sarvam layam yati. In me all things dissolve. All things which are coming in this universe, they are coming in me only. Staying in me and dissolving in me. So the equation between myself and that reality has become finished in this verse. The most wonderful verse it is. Tad Brahma Advayam Asmi Aham. I am that Brahman which is Advayam, non-dual, which though appears as dual, appears as manifold, appears as diverse and varied, but really it is that. You know, it is a wonderful thing. Have you seen those crochet pieces where they take thread and they make some picture? So they take thread only and they go on making that thing, and when it's finished, there's a tree, there's a cow, there's a pasture, there's a mountain in the back, there's a bird flying, the sky, all of it, all made from the same thread. So when you look, you have an opportunity to look and see the varied things on that crochet piece, or you can just look at the one thread from which everything is made. You have a choice in looking. Oh, it is all thread. Then that means you overlook the cow and the mountain and the tree and everything. Or you look at the cow and the mountain and the bird and everything, and you overlook the thread. So what is being taught in Shastras? Look, all of us really, in any case, we overlook the Sat. Sat is the thread here, existence. We overlook that. We only look at all the names and forms. And say, oh, this is so nice. That is so nice. Oh, this one is ugly, I don't know. Keep it away. This one is so nice. That one is so nice. And we like variety. So we only look at the variety. If we say variety is the spice of life. And you don't want to go in any department store where there's only one type of shoe. What type of store is this? We get angry and all. What type of store is this? And we want variety. You see? In this love for variety, we forget the one thing. The Sat, which is there behind all things. We forget the reality. And Bhagavan is so sweet, so wonderful. He's there, he's still waiting. Are you please see me now? You're only seeing all these names. And Bhagavan never loses patience, or never gets angry, or nothing. No matter how many million, gazillion times we forget him, he still doesn't get angry with us or anything. He's still waiting. So, the choice has to be made now. In the case of the crochet piece, we overlook the mountains and trees and everything, cow, and we see this red. Here we are already caught in this state where we are so enamored by the variety and diversity, we forget Bhagavan. So we have to now start to look deeper. Then, the saints and sages come to this state where they are able to see both at the same time. Then only this world can be really enjoyed. See, right now, we think we are enjoying this world, but we are enjoying the world at a very, very expensive price. We are enjoying this world with our whole opportunity to realize Brahman. That opportunity is the price we are paying. And we enjoy the world for 80, 90 years, and then and the opportunity is spent. The opportunity got expended. Lost. We never realize this Brahman. So that is the expensive cost we are paying. So this reality which is there has to be paid more attention. And all the world which we see, which is so diverse and so unconnected, with this knowledge, we have to start connecting it. Now, the way to connect that really is first intellectually, like we are doing, but what the Shastra is telling, the way really to connect it is to find myself, and then I will discover myself existing in all things, because all things are rising in me. Mai eva sakalam jatam, mai sarvam pratishtitam, mai eva sarvam layam yati. All things rise in me, stay in me, and dissolve in me only. I am that absolute Brahman. This is the verse. A very famous verse and very wonderful verse which summarizes the whole of the Vedanta, the whole of the Upanishad also. Now, if somebody can please tell me the time, because I forgot my watch today.
8:01.
Hi, Aya. See? Very good. So we'll stop here. If 4 or 5 verses left, we'll see that on Sunday.
Yeah.
Sunday morning, same time. Okay.
Trinidad in a few days.
Yes, Swami. I think my flight might be next Friday.
Right now, he'll talk to you. Yeah. Hello, I'm Krishna.
And her husband also.
Yeah, it will be
fine.
No, there'll be five of us from the Savannah.
Okay, fine. No problem. That's what I said. The gate, amount is 060.
Okay.
If the gong is not in, just press this.
Okay.
Box.
Okay.
And then the phone number.
Okay.
We can call Abhishwa.
Sure.
Official taste tester.
All right.
Oh, so I'm the other thing.